Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, talking about what happens when we die. And you'd think this is kind of a bummer, but this is actually some good news because you can plan for your death, but you got to make sure your plan is up to date. And we talked about that last time. You kind of want to review where we're at in this discussion.
Yeah. Death is not to be shunned at. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know of where we are going, and we know that we will have the ability to face our Savior face to face. And so many people welcome and rejoice in that opportunity, but it does leave behind family, friends, and those that will be grieving. It does leave behind stuff and assets. It does leave behind those that we care about and maybe churches that relied upon our support and other things. So we want to take a look and make sure that that we steward all of our assets very well, not just during lifetime, but actually at passing. So what does it mean to be a good steward of assets? I believe that it also means being a good steward of your estate plan, because it really is your last act of stewardship. Mm. That New Testament word stewardship means to be a generous administrator. So to administrate generously. And how else can you administrate your assets and your estate when you know that we're going to pass away if you don't have a good tool that actually administrates them? So if we don't have a good estate plan, if we don't have the will in place, if we don't have a trust. Now, I like trusts. They're more flexible. They're more robust. But I've often said, yes, we need something better than nothing. So if we don't have any type of a plan, then it's really difficult to administrate well. It's very hard to administrate generously as what we have been commanded as believers to do. So therefore, we need to talk about this thing called estate planning. We need to have a good plan in place. And last week, we talked about if you have an older document, you should be reviewing your document every 3 to 5 years. I mean, 5 years is the absolute max that you should be getting back to your attorney. Hopefully they have a relationship program and it's happening more often than just 3 to 5 years. And that there's constantly review of what's going on in your life versus what the plan says, because this world moves very fast. It moves dramatically. And so new laws, new taxes are always being implemented. And we talked about last week also what happens if your assets are disconnected from the plan. And as a matter of fact, a majority of plans that I've ever reviewed have something in place, whether it's a will or a trust, but the assets are not properly aligned.
The majority that you've looked at.
Honestly, a majority. And so I know I'm an attorney, so I have to codify that I'm being honest. I understand that. So, yes, a majority of them. So therefore, what's happening is that people are getting documents, and unfortunately, many people do it online nowadays and do it themselves. But there's so many different pitfalls. Please find an attorney that you can trust in. If it's not me, find a good attorney that will lead you and your plan to safety. And they hopefully will be reviewing each of your assets to make sure that your assets are doing exactly the same thing that you just created in your plan. So what if the plan says one thing, but then that beneficiary designations are not lined up? What if you wanted to add a charity, a 10% charity to your plan, but then your children or your spouse and just your children are the only ones listed on a financial asset as a transfer on death or as a beneficiary designation? Well, obviously there's a disconnect because the charity is not going to receive their 10% that you just created. Mm. Just as an example, so the assets need to be saying the same thing. You can head over to legacyandfaith.com, listen to last week's podcast about exactly what happens when there's a disconnect. And so So there's a quick review of where we've been.
When there's a disconnect, well, let's start talking about, again, the reverse of that. What happens when everything is properly designed and implemented?
Oh, so much better.
So much better.
So I would say almost every single client, high 90 percentiles minimally. When I ask, why are you doing this? Why are you creating an estate plan? And the most common response I ever get is, I don't want to leave a mess behind. And so we talked about having disconnect, old documents, no documents, which is a majority of individuals, no voice in what is happening. All of this leads to potential quote unquote messes. And this is really one of the highest desires that people want to stay away from, which is, I want to express exactly what happens with what I have been given stewardship of. And I want to make sure that it is as smooth of a transition as possible. There's a couple other things that people say. I want a plan that's easy. I understand in my world with what I have been trained in and what I have learned, estate planning is a very, very complex issue to unwind. And so my goal, my hope is that, yes, I create a plan and there may be a lot of different pages in it. I may have to use a bunch of paper, but what my hope is that by more instructions, it is actually easier to follow because it's a step-by-step versus general instructions. Mm. So a general instruction, you ever been to IKEA? I know I've talked about this before. Yeah, Mark Sagan has said, oh, just once?
Just once.
Oh, you should really love that wife of yours. So if you've been to IKEA, you go and you walk through this huge showroom, right? And it's got all this wonderful stuff already built. And you go, oh, that's nice. Right. I'm going to – or maybe your spouse says, oh, that's nice. And so then you go and it has a number and you pull a box off the shelf and you get to take that home and you get to build it. Congratulations. So but the instructions are extremely rudimentary. They have connect A to B, and they just show some things on the
wooden dowel, kind of special screw.
Yeah, that's right. And you have to actually take it and try to line up the different screws, and it can be a lot of fun. Okay, that's most templated wills and even templated trusts that I see, which is they include very general, basic, almost picturesque type of instructions instead of really detailed instructions. So I believe that there is a greater opportunity for success when we actually have specific instructions and those specific instructions are detailed instead of general. So if I was having a health incident, as an example, and my trust simply says, give access to whoever Paul trusts in his life with his finances. So this person now has access, but no instructions on my value of how I utilize my money. That's what a financial power of attorney does. Financial power of attorney gives access. Most trusts in time of health crisis just give access to the next person in line. They rarely, almost never give specific instructions. What type of specific instructions would we want to understand? Well, would it be my desire to be cared for at home in my health crisis? If it was medically possible and if I was in a safe environment, if we could move things around my home to make sure that it's safe for me. Now, that is a financial decision as much as it is a health decision, because if I don't have the finances, but we're trying to keep me at home at a higher cost than getting me into a proper facility where I could have good medical care and safety, then I might be pushing against what my financial desire was, which is potentially to preserve assets to make sure I have enough for the rest of my life, or that I have a high value to pass something on to my girls as an inheritance. So, or it could be the opposite, which is I've planned for this event. I have long-term care. I have other options. And so I want to make sure that I am cared for at home if it's possible. Mm. And so that changes the viewpoint of whoever is managing my money. But it is so rare that I ever see instructions about how to utilize finances. Here's another one. What if the next person has a invest my money in a way that I don't agree with? Now, number one, you probably shouldn't be using that person, but that person might be one of the few that you would actually trust with your finances, that they're not going to steal from you. They're going to be on top of paying your bills and things of this nature. Or maybe you've never had the conversation with that individual of, what is your investment philosophy? If you were in charge of my money, how would you continue to invest it? Would you want that individual to invest in cryptocurrencies? Would you want them to invest more aggressively, or would you want them to remain conservative or even become more conservative? Would you want them to pull you out of some of the market volatility and move you towards something that is more predictable? And so if you've never had the conversation with the individual who's going to take over as your power of attorney or your successor trustee, how do they know what your investment philosophy is if you experienced a healthcare crisis and they were in charge of your money? Mm. The answer is your documents should be giving them guidance. But do you know how many times, Mark, in my career that I have ever seen a document give instructions to that type of specificity? Mm. I want you to take a wild guess. Go ahead, because everyone else is taking
zero.
A guess. Okay, now you might think
unless
that is true.
Maybe one of your people.
Okay, twice. Just two. And I've reviewed thousands of estate plans. Mm. So I want you to hear that most documents templated ultimately don't work, because even if the assets are integrated into the plan, won't work because there's not enough specificity. And so what type of insecurity does that put on your financial power of attorney or your successor trustee, depending on which document you use, a will or a trust? Mm. What type? They're already at a higher level of stress because they're trying to help you. They probably care for you, so they're emotionally stressed. And now they have no understanding of exactly what to do because you left very templated instructions. Mm. Or worse yet, no instructions at all. And we don't even have financial power over your assets. Mm. So we need a good plan. So not only step one is a really good plan, but number two in that process is got to have it updated. Number three is you got to have your assets. We need your assets to be playing properly. They need to be integrated into the plan. And when we see a plan that actually works, it brings the stress level down for the people who are going to step into your shoes during your lifetime to care for you. And it brings security when you pass away to those you leave behind, because there's not as many hoops to jump through. There's not as much stress involved. They can now trust the professional to lead them and guide them through a more straightforward process, and a process that has clear instructions in it. So what does it look like when you have a really good plan? It looks like peace.
It looks like peace, and we want to definitely rest in peace.
Yes.
When we die, and there is ways to accomplish that with proper estate planning. Paul, how do people find out more about your services?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts are there, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us and schedule appointments or have a conversation. It's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
And back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. We have an upcoming seminar, and it's going to be held at Anthony's Homeport in Kirkland. This is for well-qualified clients, and if you have an estate that is worth $3 million or more, then we would love for you to come and personally enjoy the evening and the information. We're going to be discussing wills, trusts, what does it mean to have a good estate plan, and what you need in it. So come and join me at Anthony's Home Port in Kirkland. It is going to be on Tuesday, October 28th, starting at 6 p.m. Come join me for a live workshop at Anthony's Home Port. You can register for this event at legacyandfaith.com or by calling our law firm at 425-939-9948. Again, we would love to see you for this live event on Tuesday, October 28th. Go to legacyandfaith.com to register.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, talking with Paul about how our estate plan works or doesn't work after we die. What happens when we die? I want to make sure everything is on the same page. And a big part of what you do, Paul, is you have a relationship with your clients.
Right.
And that's something I found of doing these shows for a number of years that really sets you apart. You really believe in this ongoing relationship.
Yeah. For many reasons, is you kind of opened up there to says, well, what happens when you die? And I talk often about that my first primary objective is to ensure that my client is safe. Make sure that everything is going to work for them during their lifetime. So estate planning is as much about ensuring that you are going to be well taken care of. As a matter of fact, that's what we just got out of talking about, which is that if you have a health incident, do we have proper instructions in place? Do we have them in play? Do we have the right people in place and in the right roles to assist you? Do they have the right thought process, the right mentality? Are they going to be able to follow the document? And all of this then is backed up in my process by an ongoing relationship with clients, not just a one-and-done relationship. I've found that, unfortunately, most attorneys that do estate planning have more of a document mentality, which is, here's your document, and call me, let me know if you need my help. And, okay, well, let's look at that statement for a moment. Number one, how many listeners out there are actually following the legal and tax issues within the estate planning world like an attorney does? I would suggest very, very few. I have several clients that actually email me articles and are looking at things and are more abreast, and I love that. I love getting emails from clients that show me what about that? Does my plan cover this? And I love being able to write back and say absolutely. But that is the rare individual. That's a rare individual that will be sending me articles and think about their estate plan. Now, number one, in a relationship, I think I've created the ability for most of my clients to kind of take that off of the forefront of their mind and just rest that someone is watching over me, and Paul will let me know if something is going screwy, if he has a suggestion, which we do. And so in estate planning, I think it's one of the areas of law. The other area that I'm very familiar with that I would suggest has more relational component to it is for business owners, so specifically small business owners. They tend to have a relationship with their business attorney that's ongoing, because business just has a way of creating new issues, employee issues. Again, laws change, and so there's annual filing requirements in businesses. So that kind of makes sense as well. But estate planning should have this component in it. Instead of just a document that says, client, you're now in charge of letting me know if something changes, it's really just a not possible. you can tell me about your family. You can tell me if you have a different change in desire, if you're giving to a church and you decided to change churches, or you're supporting a missionary and they retire. There's multiple things that happen that you are well aware of. Things happen in the family. Got an email even this morning of a client who welcomed a new grandchild into their family. Fabulous, fun, exciting. And so let's make sure that we get that new family member into the plan so that if anything went dramatically wrong, we know of all the players and we have everything listed out and nothing is missing in the plan. So that would happen within my system. The law is constantly moving. Recently, I was at a conference, and we reviewed a certain section of our trusts, and it was a very, very good conversation. So this is, you know, 50-plus attorneys in a room. We're all estate and tax planners. We're and we have many of us have the same philosophy of how to conduct client care. And so we look at these different areas of the law, and then we look at whether or not that language is still functioning in the way that it's supposed to. So I had the opportunity, because it was presented to me, because I'm engaged, I'm continually learning. Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to be engaged, and it makes me go to the section that I have in my document. And you know what? There were a few fine-tune adjustments that I wanted in that document. Mm. Now, if you're not in relationship with the firm, how would you ever know that I made the change as the attorney? Mm. How would that ever get back into your estate plan? Because obviously I'm making an adjustment because based upon new, current, relevant information, this needs to have a fine-tune adjustment to make sure it's going to work properly. So would an old document still function? Yes, probably is the answer, but is it at its best, highest use? And the answer is no. Mm. So therefore, how do you get the adjustments from my continued learning, from my ability to grow? How do you get changes because the law simply made an adjustment? And the only answer is by remaining in communication and in relationship. So every 3 years in my program, we actually bring our clients back into the law office and we reprint their entire trust and all of their power of attorneys. Because during the years, I've learned more. We've adjusted things. Like the example I just gave, I'm at a conference and there's a fine-tuned adjustment. So how do my clients get it? Well, we have a process and a system. If they have a family change that needs to be adjusted, they can tell us at any point in time. Now, there's an annual fee to being a part of the program. Of course, I have to be paid a little bit. And so therefore, there's an annual fee. It's very reasonable. Mm. At least so says I. And for that, then, I don't charge my clients for emails. I don't charge them for questions. I don't charge them because they have a question I need to call them back make a phone appointment. I don't charge them when I've adjusted my language, when there's a legal change, when they have fine-tuned adjustments, such as, congratulations, you've had a new grandchild. Let's add that family member to the family list. So updating is very, very important. And I've mentioned before that old plans tend to lag. They have bad law. They have bad tax law. If you have a trust before that was created in the early 2000s, do you know that you don't even have Washington State estate tax law in your trust because it was impossible? It wasn't even codified in law yet. And so if you have a trust that is 20 years old and you have been blessed and started to build something, I've got to make up something to protect estate taxes. So these are the things that constantly move. And some of them, such as there's absolutely no language to cover a Washington State estate tax in your plan, that's big deal. So they could be really big and cost your family a lot of money by having an outdated trust, or they can be smaller issues such as the fine-tune adjustment that I made to a section of my trust last week. So, so the question is it a big deal or a small deal? Can I get why even ask the question? Why not get into a relationship to ensure that at any moment that you have a health issue or at any moment that you're called home to see our Savior face to face, that everything that we have planned on is at its highest best use? That is going to leave a smooth transition. That's what happens when a document works. When the documents are well designed, when the assets are integrated and they're merged into the plan, this is going to create the smoothest transition possible for your family. Give a strong gift to your family. Be a good steward. You got to get good estate planning done.
What happens when I die? Looking at the realities of that and having a good estate plan and a good estate planner. That is what Paul Grant wants to be for you. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Great. Always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.